Peace I leave to you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give. Don't let your hearts be troubled, nor let them be dismayed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, I must say, in the last 4 or 5 hours, it's been very enjoyable spending the last 6 months with you. When I got here this morning, there was ice on the lake. By an hour later, the tulips were up. By an hour after that, it was summertime, and I suspect if I stay through the night tomorrow, I'll see the leaves fall, and the ice will be back on by the next morning. It's good to see you. So my parents, a few years ago, Dad had had enough, stubborn Dutchman that he really is inside, he had had enough of snow, and Sioux City, Iowa, they got a huge snowstorm several years ago, up to the eaves trough in the back of the drifts, and finally he relented to my mother's impulse, and they started going to Florida for a few months every winter. Now, this is the third time they were coming home through St. Louis a few weeks ago, and Mom told me that when they got down there, they started attending a little LCMS congregation, a nice little congregation. First Sunday they were there, after the service, the pastor introduced them. And after church, Mom was in the narthex, and a woman came up very seriously and said, "You know, we pray for your son every Sunday." And Mom was ready to say, "Well, thank you." And the woman continued, "Is there some problem?" Yes! Yes! I must say, yes, there is. Me. The Missouri Synod. All of us. So it is. I read a great story, a true story some time ago about a missionary, Nomanson, who was really a Lutheran, and he was the founder of the Batak Protestant Church, now nominally Lutheran Protestant, but 4.5 million members on Sumatra and in Indonesia. And in the 1830s, the first missionaries came out from the Northeast in the United States, and these guys were a little bit haphazard, and they trekked right to the middle of Sumatra. I've been there. They have a proud tradition of headhunting in Sumatra and cannibalism. These missionaries trekked to the center against the warnings of others and promptly were murdered and eaten by a guy named Palagliani. And to this day, if you talk to these Sumatran Lutherans, they tell you they revere these two missionaries who actually were cannibalized. They regard them as saints. Well, about 30 years later, Nomanson the Lutheran shows up. He's much wiser. He takes his time. He learns the language. He decides he's going to go deep into the jungle, and he's going to meet this man face to face, this famous little native man who murdered and cannibalized these missionaries. True story. He got all the way to the interior of the country, found the man's village, found the man's elevated hut, actually went in the hut and waited for the man to return from a hunting trip. The man came in, and Nomanson spoke the gospel to him in his own language. Can you imagine? The only times he had ever heard anybody speak his own language or a foreign language was when he was murdering them. Now he hears this foreigner speaking the gospel in his own language. The man was visibly undone. He got up and made some excuse that he had to go fetch something. He ran out and was never seen again by Nomanson. Nomanson said, "You can understand," he said in his wonderful understated fashion, "you can understand how disquieted we were spending the whole night in that blackened village waiting for the cannibal to return." Never returned. Missed the day of his visitation. I tell you today, this is Pentecost for you. I don't want to talk about Pentecost for other people tonight. I want to talk about Pentecost for you. The visitation of the Spirit of God upon you now. And you sit with the law face to face to you. Jesus says, I came to bring peace, and yet you have anything but peace, don't you? You have disquiet and anxiety. You have anger. You have dissension. And you are on an eternal quest to self-justify. Just let somebody say something about you or do something wrong to you at church, and you're off justifying yourselves eternally. Peace. Jesus brings peace, and you are full of anxiety and anger and fear and hatred. You haven't killed anybody, but you've hated. Jesus says that is hatred. And you're disquieted by your addictions. What if the sins of all of us were evident to each other right now, like up on a screen all around this place? What if our deepest, darkest, sickest thoughts were available for everybody to see? Not a single one of us wouldn't be absolutely ashamed. And yet this Jesus comes. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives. Jesus gives peace, my friends. Objective peace. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. One time somebody asked Luther, don't you wish it said, for God so loved Martin Luther that he gave his only begotten son? Luther said, no, I don't. Because then I'd be wondering forever if there was another Martin Luther out there somewhere. It's the world. And Christ is for you. You did not choose me, I chose you, he says to his apostles, and it holds good for you. There is an objective peace spoken about by St. Paul in the book of Romans, chapter 5. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace. The warfare is over. The accuser can't accuse you. Diabolos, the devil, that means accuser. We have an advocate with the Father. Peace. Peace. And Jesus, all the way through this valedictory, tells us about this peace, especially all the way back in chapter 20. And Jesus appeared to them, ento mezzo, in their midst, he appears to them behind closed doors in the upper room. And what is the first thing he says to them? Peace be with you. And who were they? This is the crowd that ran away. This is the crowd with Peter who denied him. This is the crowd that fled in the face of danger, abandoned him, said, we'll stay with you no matter what. And they fled. They abandoned him. They denied him. They're sinners just like you. And Jesus comes in their midst and says, peace. My peace I give to you. And then he goes on and he says, here's what you do with that peace. Just as the Father sent me, I send you. Whosoever sins you forgive, they are forgiven unto them. After he breathed on them, we go to forgive. We have received peace. We can't help but be bearers of peace. Why are you grinding the axe? I had a great bit of advice from John Kleinig some years ago about a congregational alligator that drove me crazy and made me a worse sinner than ever. The relationship was so badly broken, I couldn't even go to the person. John Kleinig said, start praying that person's name and forgiving that person when you're driving around in your car. You have peace with God through your Lord Jesus Christ. You are people of peace. All of you. People now sent. Sent as Jesus himself is sent. Now the apostles are sent as Jesus, but this applies also to you, especially to you pastors. That's why this verse is in the ordination rite. How can they hear unless they are sent? The promise is yours. Peace on your lips. And then one more time because we're weak. One more time because we doubt. One more time because we're sinners all, every one of us, back in the same mess tomorrow after being forgiven today. Jesus repeats it again just for Thomas. He shows up. En to meso, in their midst. Flesh and blood. And what does he say again? Peace be with you. And then he says, Thomas, put your finger here. Put your hand here in the side. See it. That's how real your peace is, my friends. And tonight, in a few moments, the Lord Christ, present among us in a way just as real as he was present among his apostles on that day, is present for you on this altar for the forgiveness of all your sins, for your peace now and tomorrow and for eternity. Count on it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.